Let us go right now. Henry Shulman is with us. Henry Shulman at Hank Shulman on Twitter. Of course, he covers the Giants for the San Francisco Chronicle. Henry, how are you?
I'm doing great. It takes two people to turn on one microphone.
Well, that's because you know why.
Yep.
You know, how many Jewish people does it take?
We're not exactly. We're not the most technologically inclined.
That's
right?
Us. We understand that.
We admit
it's okay.
It. We admit.
That's right. Pat is here to help out with
and
all this
Carmen
stuff.
And Carmen Q. Yeah.
Right, thank God
okay,
they're
yeah.
here. All right. So
thank you for all the goyim here. I appreciate it.
The
very,
two of
very
us could get yeah. nothing done.
Well, we got Ben Stein, who's fresh off a trip to Israel.
That's correct. Ben Stein was almost ready to go the other way when he saw the trouble here. All right. Of course, Henry, they're playing a little better now, Giants.
Yeah, I mean, this was their hope all along. They just wanted to come out and play good baseball. I think it's really good, too, that they've played especially well at home because, I mean, for the first half of the season, they played some really miserable baseball here. And it's one thing to lose. It's another thing when you come to the ballpark and buy your tickets and your beer and your hot dogs and garlic fries and all that and just see your team go out there and not even compete. For nine innings, not get any hits, give up a bunch of runs early, and it's one of those things where it's a combination of some new guys who have come in and played good ball, and some older guys who have sort of found it. It just baseball's crazy. I mean, you wonder why if they've made this adjustment, why couldn't they have made it earlier? Matt Moore was talking last night about not overthrowing the way he did, and also changing the way the pressure points on the baseball. You know, so you wonder why can't you do it before? But I mean, that's not how baseball works. Hunter Pence looked like a guy who should be out of baseball for a while. Now he looks like this is the guy you want next year in your lineup. And the starting pitching has sort of really come around. With Bumgarner back, Block's been pretty consistent. Samardzija has been much better. I mean, Stratton goes out and strikes out 10, and like you guys are talking about, there's a bullpen, there's a pretty good bullpen for later in the game in the lineup. I was just joking with Bochy. He's got the same lineup out there 3 days in a row, maybe an all-time record for Bochy. And so the sum of all this is good baseball. They played .500 ball in their last 30 games. This is not a goal you want long-term. But considering the way they started the season, 15-15 isn't bad, and now they're not going to lose 100 games.
Henry Shulman with us. Henry, stories this week, Bochy talking about competition for jobs. What was he talking about?
Well, I mean, I think he was sending a message that nobody should be complacent about having a job next year. I mean, you have guys like Span and Pence, for instance. These are two older players who are at the end of their contracts, and there are going to be a lot of guys coming in here who are going to be hungry for starting jobs. In the outfield, just as an example, you're going to have Austin Slater. You're going to have Jarrett Parker. Chris Shaw is probably going to be in spring training. Looking for a job, maybe some guys they bring in, Gorkys Hernandez, and so on and so forth. And I think he was just trying to send a message that nobody should be complacent over the winter about jobs. And you got two guys like Span and Pence who are going to be in the last year of their contracts. Now, do I think they're going to lose starting jobs next year? No, I think Pence and Span are both going to be in the outfield next year, assuming neither of them is traded. But he's also trying to send a message to the younger guys saying, look, I know we have these veteran guys on the team, but if you play well, there may be a place for you in the opening day lineup. And he even made a comment just 10 minutes ago about Jarrett Parker and said, when he was asked could anybody sort of guarantee themselves or put themselves in position to have a starting job next year by the way they play now, and he said, yeah, Parker is one of those guys. An interesting guy. Not a young player anymore. Right. He'll be 29 on New Year's Day. But he's a guy who, if he plays well the next 6 weeks, he's clearly going to be in the catbird seat.
Wow. I mean, if the Giants towed out the same starting outfield next year as they did this year, I think that would discourage a lot of fans. What do you think, Henry?
Yeah, I mean, I think that even if Pence and Span are in the opening day lineup next year, which I think they will be, it could be Pence, Span, and Parker. That could be the opening day lineup, which was the opening day lineup this year. I think the difference is that there are some other outfielders, younger outfielders, who have established themselves, and it could be a matter of mixing and matching next year more than just throwing the same guys out there. I mean, I can't imagine next year, if the Giants are competitive, if a guy like Pence has a really bad 4 weeks, that they're going to trot him out there every single day.
Right, I got you.
Henry and I had a very interesting discussion this week or last week at the end of the homestand, and I made the bold statement at dinner. I said, Henry, the opening day center fielder next year could be Steven Duggar.
Wow.
And I said, well, if comes into spring training, has a great spring training, but you sort of shot it down. I think you're right.
What gave you the impression when I said, give me some of what you're smoking? Is that what gave you the impression I shot?
Look, I rub it on my hip. That's what I do.
Steven Dugar is a guy who might be in the majors right now if he didn't have two injuries. He had arm and leg injuries this year, and he was set back a half a year. And I can't see the Giants going into spring training looking at Steven Dugar as a starting outfielder. I mean, they haven't even moved him, as far as I know. You guys can check me on this. They started him out in single A, even though he played double A last year. He's been playing in single A this year, sort of to have his quote unquote spring training right now. And I think that there's an outside shot. He could win a job next year because he's a guy who can play center field. And he very well could be the center fielder of the future. I was talking to Kevin Franzen the other night. He works for your station now, by the way.
Duggar does?
Kevin, not Duggar. Okay. And he said he absolutely loved Duggar, not just because he could play good defense, but also for a guy that young, and I believe he's 23 or 24, something like that. For a guy that inexperienced, he has great idea at the plate about which pitches to go after and which not. And that's what some of the better prospects who come up do. I can see him being on the team next year, but I can't see him being in the open. Assuming they have other options for somebody they go out and get, maybe even Span, who I know is going to maybe move to left next year, I don't see Dugar being the opening day center fielder.
No, and your point to me, and I was well taken, that is you can't come into spring training thinking that's going to be your center fielder, leadoff hitter. You've got to do something. Austin Jackson, I don't care who it is, you got to have somebody who you can turn it over to other than Gorky's Hernandez.
You heard it here first, Austin Jackson to the Giants.
Right. Well, maybe so. Who knows? Yeah, look, he's out there.
That's how rumors get started.
Lorenzo Cain?
That's the guy I like. But as Henry said, you don't want to tie up 4 years of Lorenzo Cain if you have some of these outfielders
young
on the way.
Yeah, that's an issue. He's going to be, I think, 31, if I'm not mistaken. So it's the same issue. You end up giving a four-year contract to a guy in his decline years as an outfielder. Now, I made the same point to Kevin Franzen. I talked to Kevin Franzen a lot.
Apparently you like,
I like Kevin Franzen. He made the point. He likes Lorenzo Cain, too. And the one point when I brought that up, he said the one thing is that Cain has not had leg problems. Mm-hmm. When Denard Span came here, he was coming off a hip injury. At about the same age, so it's a little different situation.
Yeah, and I like Cain for the fact that if he does decline a little bit, he could become a corner guy. He's a great clubhouse guy. He could hit third. He hits home runs. And this outfield needs a good center fielder. It does.
And the lineup needs right-handed hitting.
That's why I like
the right hand definitely needs more right-handed hitting.
No, I agree.
Which is why I think Slater, even though, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be in a fight for an opening, for a starting job next year, but I think they're counting on him to be an important piece of the team.
Oh, no question.
You got a right-handed hitter with a little bit of pop. Yep.
And he will be back this year, apparently, right, Henry? In September?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. I don't believe he's out there hitting. I just saw him on the field. I don't think he started running yet. The issue with all these guys is that the minor league season is going to end on Labor Day. Yeah. So they're not really going to have places to go and rehab. But Bochy seems pretty confident that he's going to be back this year.
What's the new Henry Schulman with us? Always, Henry, we love having you out here, and thank you for coming out. Cueto and Panic Belt, any news on those guys?
Yeah, Cueto's going to throw 50 pitches in Sacramento on Monday. They're saying it'll be two rehab starts, and I buy that because 50 to 60 pitches does not prepare you to start a major league game. You really need to get up to about 80. So I can see him making two minor league rehab starts. And, Belton Panic are both supposedly feeling better, and they're both doing cardio. And that's kind of a big step because a lot of guys with concussion, that's where they, that's a test. It's a huge test when you start doing cardio because if you're going too hard and you still have concussion symptoms, and that's when they're going to sort of manifest themselves. So there's no real way of knowing. I mean, Belt supposedly. I talked to another player yesterday who said Belt really is really wants to come back. He needs those two homers for 20. He's never done it before, and he wants them.
Are there bonuses involved or anything like that?
No. In baseball, you actually cannot have a bonus for incentive for an actual stat like that.
Like at bats is more of a innings pitched.
I don't know if he does that for pitchers, for innings pitched,
right. And right. appearances right. for relievers,
but not for things like ERA and strike, you know, strikeouts.
Well, Coco Crisp, he had some kind of incentive that drove him crazy a couple of years ago with Billy Bean.
It was plate appearances.
Plate appearances. Yeah.
And we had it here with who's the outfielder?
Well, I mean, whether it vests or not.
Yeah, I remember that last year. Who was his name again?
It was one of the guys that they came from Cleveland.
Okay.
I don't, Mel Hall, I don't remember.
Mel Hall. Hey, Henry, let
me ask. Rocky Colavito.
Rocky Colavito. You wrote a piece on Melanson today that he's weighing surgery on his arm. That pronator just can't get right. I didn't realize it's gone back a couple of years. What's the message that he's sending to the team by continuing to go out there as opposed to getting it worked on now?
Well, I mean, the message he's sending is that, you know, it's important that we play well over the last 6 weeks, and I want to contribute. And I think there's a personal aspect in this as well. I think that, you know, he got a little bit of bad press here.
He did.
And it probably was not – the story probably had some truth to it and probably was exaggerated a little bit, but it doesn't matter. In the public eye, he took a little bit of a hit. And he made it clear in response to that that – he was brought here not just to be the closer, but also to be a leader, the leader, not a leader, the leader in a bullpen with a lot less experience than he has. And I think he's trying to show that he is indeed a leader. And you know what? I do feel he is a little concerned that if he keeps pitching, that he might create some sort of compensatory injury elsewhere
right.
in his arm. And I really, really believe that he's not going to pitch the rest of the year. I really believe that at some point in the next couple of weeks,
shut it down.
They're going to shut it down and have the surgery. And then Dave Greschner, the head athletic trainer, said, look, this is what we look at every single day, where he is. And, I mean, the minute they think they need to do this thing,
yeah.
To make sure he's right for the start of spring training, that's when they're going to do it.
By the way, your buddy Kevin Franz and the greatest bromance of the 2017 Giants season, Marlon Byrd. Marlon Byrd was the guy with the incentives on the plate appearances.
Thank you. Yeah, he's doing well this year, right?
Wherever the heck he is. Love Kevin Franz and working, grinding.
Yeah.
Good, very good. Henry, you look at the Dodgers, you look at Arizona, Colorado. Dodgers probably going to be close to the record they won again today. I can't believe it. Every time I walk in here, it's another win. Blessing or a curse to maybe win that many games?
No, I think it's a blessing. I really do. I think that you know, it really sends you into the postseason with great confidence. Now there's pressure that goes along with that because they don't want to be the 2001 Mariners. And there's always this issue about when you win by that much and you start sort of you know, dialing it back in September to prepare for the playoffs, there's this question about readiness. But I don't think Dave Roberts is going to let that happen. And you know, when they start the playoffs, they're going to start the playoffs at Dodger Stadium. And their first two pitchers, the guys who are going to pitch those two games against whoever the wild card winner is, are going to be Clayton Kershaw, assuming he's healthy, and Yu Darvish, assuming he's healthy. And I think they both will be. And I think that... yeah, I wouldn't be too worried about them, you know, being a little rusty with those two guys, you know, on the mound and the way they're hitting the ball right now and the way they're playing right now. I do think it's a blessing because they've created a winning culture there, and they're going to have to go into the postseason with sky-high confidence.
Yeah. Arizona, Colorado, hang on here. St. Louis, Milwaukee, sort of lurking out there. This is why we love baseball. With 38 to go, you're 4 or 5 back. This is what makes baseball.
Yeah, and one thing I said a long time ago, earlier in the season, was that the one thing that you worry about with Colorado is the lack of innings that these starters have thrown. And it's quite a juggling act by Bud Black in Colorado to try and make sure these guys, these younger guys, have the arm strength to go far into past September and October. And they faltered this season because of that. They're starting pitching. They have some excellent pitchers. It would have been good for them to go out and get maybe one or two veteran guys, which they haven't done, and they might still have the time to do. Lineup-wise, I think they have the strength to keep this thing going. And frankly, you know, St. Louis had a great run, but them and the Brewers and those teams, these are all flawed teams right now. And I think the lead, it's about 4 games I think Colorado has. So, I mean, it can happen.
Four and a half.
Four and a half, and Arizona's 1 game ahead of that. So, yeah. I mean, anything can happen in the last 6 weeks of the season. But it really, I mean, I wouldn't surprise me at all if these are the two teams fighting it out for the right to be chewed up by the Dodgers.
By the way, Chad Bettis goes today. Good story.
It wouldn't surprise me if one of the two got knocked out. That's the way baseball works.
Exactly. You know, wouldn't surprise me either.
All right, one last thought for you. I appreciate you being on. Thank goodness for Kevin is listening and can straighten you out on things that, that we can't remember. That's a great. I love talking ball with Kevin.
Yeah, hey, Kevin, I love you, bro.
Yeah.
If you had to invest money in a stock, and the stock was going to pay off next April, and the stock was Corey Guerin, Kyle Crick or Hunter Strickland? Who are you investing in?
Oh, wow. Hunter Strickland.
Yeah.
Hunter Strickland right now has really got it together, particularly against left-handed pitching. That's been his Achilles heel. And I think he's developed into an excellent eighth-inning guy and the kind of guy you don't have to replace with a left-handed specialist. Now, you know, if you're in a game and you have a Bellinger coming up or I was going to say Todd Helton, that just ages me a little bit. But you know, an Adrian
Todd
Gonzalez,
Benzinger.
Todd Benzinger, right?
Larry Walker,
yeah, one of those guys, Larry Walker, one of those guys coming up. You still might want to use your left-handed.
We can't get him off track.
No, he's such a pro. I have a mind like a wool trap.
Yeah, he said, what a mind. Add Hank
you still
Truman.
Might want that left-handed specialist to go in there because that's what he's there for.
Yeah.
But his off-speed stuff now is good enough to get left-handed, most left-handed hitters out. And I like both of those. I think both of those other guys might still be here. I mean,
I
Crick
so.
Will. Guerin, you know, the only question with Guerin is that he's starting to move up there in arbitration, and then you start to make the decision, okay, you know, do we want to pay that much money for that commodity? But he's actually pitched really well down the stretch, and I really do think that it had Contos not been claimed by the Pirates, one of those two would have gone because they weren't going to keep both. And I think the inclination obviously now is to keep Guerin because Contos they let go for nothing.
Yeah, you need some veterans too if you think you're going to contend. You just can't turn it over to young guys. But Strickland really is a veteran now.
Yeah,
I think he's in that class.
Don't forget, he saved game two of the 2014 Division Series in Washington. You forget that. One of the three guys you got out was Denard Span.
Yeah.
Denard doesn't remember that. I keep reminding him.
Denard Span going to be left fielder next year?
I get that sense.
Yeah. All right, great. Thanks, Henry. Thanks for coming out.
Henry, are you going to Arizona next weekend?
I am.
If they were to do a Riders weekend instead of a Players weekend, what would be the nickname splashed across your back?
Let's see. you know. Loverboy. I think Loverboy would probably be.
No food.
Yeah.
You're not going there food.
Or Mensch. Yeah,
I like Loverboy.
All right.
One of the two.
Pat, and for you?
They're both accurate.
Peaches. Peaches.
I would say that's right, Pat.
I'd
say that's right.
I think Marty's would be Nudnik.
No one knows what that means.
Nobody. No, some people know.
No one knows what that means.
Kevin Franzen is Jewish. He understands.
All right, Henry, we love you. Thanks for coming
Henry.
Out.
You got it.
Very good. More coming up on the Sports Leader.